Our first reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, and can be found on page 3 of the Pew Bibles. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Our second reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14, and can be found on page 1027 of the Pew Bibles. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." Amen.
Let us pray together. Gracious God, thank you again that as we gather around your word, you are the God who speaks to us. So speak to us now by your Spirit, we pray, and help us to respond appropriately. In Jesus' name, amen. With the advent of mobile phones and social media, the art of good verbal communication, I think, is being lost. As adults, perhaps we are tempted to roll our eyes in horror and perhaps disgust about how our young people communicate among themselves. Often their preferred method of communication is texting, even if they're under the same roof, even sometimes when they're still in the same room together. We live in a society where communication is instantaneous. It's so easy. You can text family and friends to the other side of the world quite easily and conveniently. In the past, we had telegrams as a mode of communication with people. Some of you are old enough to remember that. One time, we had carrier pigeons. Now, do some of you remember that? That was the best that we could offer in terms of communication. Nowadays, of course, we have email because, frankly, snail mail, which is what we call the normal postal service, is far too slow. And now with the likes of texting on the mobile and WhatsApp groups and, of course, with the likes of social media, with Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, etc., there are certain avenues for instant communication. There are many ways in which we communicate to each other, and I believe that the best way to communicate is still verbally. I don't particularly like the written word because it's often open to misinterpretation, isn't it? So we get a lot of our mental health issues. People read into things that just are never intended. But we have our own baggage and our own agendas and our own thoughts that we read into stuff that just isn't there. So I think verbal communication is still the best form of communication. I much prefer to sit down with someone and see the white of their eyes and see their body language and see how they're communicating than just trying to read into something, into a text. So it's open to misinterpretation as well, however, when it comes to verbal communication. We perhaps still don't articulate ourselves very well, or people still hear different things that are being said. So communication isn't perfect when it comes to our humanity. There's one such story about misinterpretation through the written word. I can't remember if I've told this story before, but I don't make any apologies for it. It's a cracker. In the days when you couldn't count on a public toilet facility, an English woman was planning a trip to India. She registered to stay in a small guest house owned by the local schoolmaster. She was concerned as to whether the guest house contained a WC, a water closet, a toilet. She wrote to the schoolmaster inquiring of the facilities about the WC. The schoolmaster, not fluent in English, asked the local priest if he knew the meaning of WC. Together they pondered possible meanings of the letters and concluded that the lady was, in fact, inquiring if there was a wayside chapel near the house. And so the schoolmaster wrote a letter back. "Dear madam, I take great pleasure in informing you that the WC is located 9 miles from the guest house. It is located in the middle of a grove of pine trees, surrounded by lovely grounds. It is capable of holding 229 people and is open on Sundays and Thursdays. As there are many people expected in the summer months, I suggest you arrive early. There is, however, plenty of standing room. There's an unfortunate situation, especially if you're in the habit of going regularly. Now, it may be of some interest to you that my daughter was married in the WC since she met her husband there, and it was a wonderful event. There were 10 people in every seat. It was so lovely to see the expressions on their faces. My wife sadly has been ill and unable to go recently. It's been almost a year since she last went, which pains her greatly. You will be pleased to know that many people bring their lunch and make a day of it. Others prefer to wait till the last minute and arrive just in time. I would recommend that your ladyship plan to go on a Thursday, as there is organ accompaniment. The acoustics are excellent, and even the most delicate sounds can be heard everywhere. The newest addition is a bell, which rings every time a person enters. We are hoping to provide plush seats for all, since many feel it is long needed. I look forward to escorting you there myself and seating you in a place where you can be seen by all. With deepest regards, the schoolmaster." The story concludes that the woman never visited India. We will have our own stories to tell about communication and about miscommunication. But in contrast, when God communicated, it was clear. We read in Genesis how when God spoke, things were created clearly. And when God spoke and created, it came from a deep place of love for what he was creating. John 1, verse 1 reminds us that in the beginning was the Word, that is the pre-incarnate Jesus. The Word was beside God and the Word was God. And then verse 3 tells us all things came into existence through him. So God communicated clearly by creating through the Word, the Logos, the Son. And Christmas is all about communication. The Word, that is Jesus, came and made his dwelling among us. Søren Kierkegaard, the great Danish theologian, told this story. There was once a prince who wanted to find a maiden suitable to be his queen. One day, while running an errand in the local village for his father, he passed through a poor area. As he glanced out the windows of the carriage, his eyes fell upon a beautiful peasant girl. During the ensuing days, he often passed by the young lady and soon fell in love. But he had a problem. How would he seek her hand in marriage? He could order her to marry him, but even a prince wants his bride to marry him freely and voluntarily and not under coercion. He could put on his most splendid uniform and drive up to her front door in a carriage drawn by 6 magnificent horses. But if he did this, he would never be certain that the maiden loved him or was simply overwhelmed with the splendor and wealth. So the prince came up with a solution. He would give up his kingly robe. He moved into the village, entering not with a crown, but in the clothes of a peasant. He lived among the people, shared their interests and concerns, and talked their language. In time, the maiden grew to love him for who he was and because he first loved her. This very simple, almost childlike fairy tale is what Christmas is all about. God came and lived among us. He revealed himself to us in an understandable way. And this is precisely what Jesus did. He became human, just like you and me. God communicated himself to his creation and made himself understandable. Because when we look at Jesus, we're looking at God and we see what God is like. As preachers, many of us will have preached sermons on not forgetting the real meaning of Christmas, and we do it every year because the truth of what we celebrate is gradually being squeezed out, and we are doing our best to reclaim it. In the midst of all the decorations, the buying and receiving of gifts, the overeating, the visiting of family and friends, etc., is the truth that Christmas is all about the Lord revealed his nature to the world as a God of love. As a God of love. Christmas, celebrating the birth of Jesus, is all about God communicating to the world that he loves everyone. That's a message we need to take to the world today. I love what someone has written. If our greatest need was money, God would have sent us a banker. If our greatest need was knowledge, God would have sent us a teacher. If our greatest need was wisdom, God would have sent us a philosopher. If our greatest need had been entertainment, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. The world still needs Jesus as Lord and Savior. Our community still needs Jesus as Lord and Savior. Our homes still need Jesus as Lord and Savior. Part of our worship, which is seen in our service, is to offer Christ's love to everyone. To couch this in a theological term, what we're talking about is incarnational theology, that God is present through his people. I worked in Whitechapel Methodist Mission in East End of London a lot of years ago, about 28 years ago now, and on their leaflet there, they simply said, it was a lovely little strap line, but it said, "We seek to be the hands, feet, and voice of Christ." It's not true for all the people of God. The role of God's people, not just at Christmas, but throughout the whole year, as Ed was reminding us of last week, is to communicate the love of God to others. Through our willingness to serve and get alongside others, those who are hurting, those who are lonely, those who don't know the peace of Christ in their hearts, we seek to bring the love of God's holy presence into people's hearts and lives. I don't know if you've seen this week, and I've seen it just the last couple of weeks, how in different places people have put their coats and jackets on railings. I had seen it in Dublin, and then during this past week, I saw on Twitter someone had taken a photograph in St. Mary's Church in Chapel Lane in the city centre in Belfast. People had put their coats, and the little note had said, "If you are cold and wet and need a coat, please take one. If you have enough coats and can donate your coat, then please leave it." So people had put a cover around it and on a hanger had put it on a railing. A simple, tangible way of showing kindness and love to others. I love that saying, people don't care how much we know unless they know how much we care. I would adapt that slightly and say, people don't care what we know unless they know that we care. If we have one goal as God's people this Christmas, it is to make Christ's presence real and authentic for people. Especially for those who feel that God is perhaps far away. We are blessed with this wonderful truth that God is with us. We need to communicate that truth to others through our acts of generosity and kindness and love. God spoke and He created. God created out of love for what He had created. Christmas is also all about communication. God communicated to His creation that He is a God of love and kindness, and He made His dwelling among us. He became like us to communicate that love to the world. As God's people, we have heard that message and we have believed it. And so now we do what we can to communicate to the world around us that this God who came into our world and shared our humanity is a God of love. So may we, as God's people, do whatever we can to show God's love to everyone at Christmas and on throughout the whole year, and declare in word as well as in action that God is with us by His Spirit. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank You that You spoke and You created. We thank You that the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. That in Jesus Christ, Your Son, we see that You, Almighty God, are a God of supreme and generous love. We thank You that it was indeed good news for all people. Help us as those who have received that wonderful news, who have received that message of love, to share that love and make Your living and loving presence known in the world around us. and all for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen.